turn to John chapter 9.
As you're turning there, I want to ask you, what is something that you believe you could do that you would not be forgiven of? What is that thing? Have you done that thing? Are you afraid that you're going to do that thing? Are you anxious? I have something good to share with you today. Well, let's be reading from verses 35 through 41. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that is, the blind man that he had healed. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. It is indeed your word, yes, written by your prophets and apostles, and yet inspired by you completely. It is trustworthy and will not fail to guide us in your way, insofar as your Spirit blesses our hearing and our reading. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, please come and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Just this past week on Tuesday, I went to what used to be called Springfield Mall and is now called Springfield Town Center. And the reason was, is Amelia had the day off. It was a teacher work day. And Annalise, after she went to school for a few hours, you know, I'd be taking care of the girls while Dorothy is working. So on this special day where I have both girls together, I decided, why don't we go to the mall? There's a nice playground inside the mall that you can play on. And we'll get some pretzels at Auntie Anne's. They always like that. And so we did that. And while we're eating at Auntie Anne's and fighting over the cheese dip, there was a boy over in like a white Lamborghini, one of those little like child cars in the white Lamborghini, driving around the mall. And of course, both my girls look and they love it. Okay, Stephen, maybe you could click. Yeah, there we go. So there's a picture. So they convinced me eventually to get them into the pink, what is this, Discovery? Okay, they were super excited. Lisey obviously is a bit worried, but Amelia's confident. And Amelia did. She drove really well, you know, sat up really straight, watching out for people. It was wonderful, you know. But then I shouldn't have done this, but I said, all right, let's give Lisey a try, right? Once Lisey gets in the car and she's at the driver's wheel, she starts laughing that deep laugh that smells like she might be smoking a pack a day. You know, and it's like, oh no, what is she going to do? What's going to happen, right? I have a remote control to stop her at times and to turn it, so I felt pretty safe. She's having a great time. I let her do it. But we're going by this man, and he just doesn't look happy about it. And I'm thinking, well, it'd be great if we were in a different part of the mall, but this is where you're supposed to do it. And so she keeps driving, and eventually, yes, who does she hit with her car? She hits the man on the bench. She hits the bench, at least, and knocks the bench forward while the man is sitting on it. Now, I don't know. Maybe he was having trouble in his life. Maybe he just lost his job. He's going through some interpersonal difficulty. But when I looked at him, I was hoping that he was thinking, okay, it's just a little kid, they just hit my bench, you know, it's okay. And I look up and I say, I'm sorry, sir. And I could see on his face, absolutely no forgiveness. Absolutely nothing but condemnation. I'm not looking down on the man when I say this. I'm just telling you this is what happened. And why am I telling you why this happened? Because in situations a lot larger than this one, but including smaller sins, we look to people in our lives for forgiveness. But we all know that we've looked to people in our lives for forgiveness and haven't always gotten it. In situations like this, and we can click off the slide now, in situations like this, not such a big deal. With moms and dads, brothers and sisters, pastors and other authority figures in our life, when that forgiveness is not given, it does affect us. And it affects the way that we think about the most important person in our life, God. God who says that He forgives. But does He forgive like this? Does He forgive like you, Pastor Tim? Because if that's the way God forgives, then I'm afraid that I'm going to do something that He won't forgive. I'm afraid I'm going to do that thing that I know that you would reject me for. Is that the case with God? Is there a limit to His forgiveness? What can we not be forgiven of? Jesus speaks about the unforgivable sin, does He not? Well, let's read on and let us learn from our Lord Jesus Christ through the Gospel. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast this blind man out. What does that mean? This blind man who had now been healed was a part of the Jewish community. He was a part of the synagogue. He could go to the temple. But when he had confessed Jesus as being Lord, as being from God, as being the Messiah, the Savior, they cast him out of the community. Effectively, he no longer had family. He no longer had the friends he had before. In fact, any inheritance he would have received, which I guess would have been minimal since he was sitting on the side of the road begging anyways, any inheritance he would have received as a member of the Jewish community, gone. In fact, he was in danger of being harmed, even, by some of those who had said they were his friends. This was a serious, serious problem. But the Good Shepherd looks for his sheep, and he finds him. And upon finding him, he says to the formerly blind man, but now seeing man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe him?" Now this man knows that voice. He knows who's speaking to him. He knows the man who's speaking to him is the one who healed him. We know that partly because we know that people who lose sight, the body compensates by strengthening other senses, sense of hearing, for example. But we also know that because in John 10, where we're about to go, the Good Shepherd, Jesus says, the sheep know his voice. This man knows that the man who healed him is speaking to him. And he's ready to believe in anybody who this man says he ought to trust in. Jesus said to him, "You have seen the Son of Man, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. This is the characteristic of all disciples. Not only that we will believe in Jesus Christ, but that that belief flows out in action, in worship. And it's not just a worship that happens on Sunday. It is a life of worship, of the one who has moved towards us with healing. And we believe in you, and we worship you. We worship you in the way we put on diapers. We worship you in the way we do school. We worship you in the way we do art. We worship you in the way we do business. We worship you with all of our lives. And then Jesus says something of a curious saying. He says, "For judgment I came into this world." Wait, full stop. Last week, I told you that the mission that Jesus is on and that he calls us to be on is a healing mission, not a judgmental mission, not an unproductive or sterile mission that stands on the sidelines of life and tries to pick out who are the people that need to be judged by me today. No, we are on a mission, a healing mission, a mission that moves towards something, a mission that moves towards problems and seeks to provide solutions in the name of Christ. So why is it that Jesus says, "For judgment I came into this world"? Well, I'll remind you again of what it says in John chapter 3, verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." So why is Jesus saying he came to judge? He goes on to say, "But in order that the world might be saved by him." Now listen, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in union with God. Jesus is coming into the world to save the world. He is the light. And in bringing the light to the world, some will receive the light. But as a necessary sort of outflow of that, those who reject the light will be there too. Those who want the darkness will scatter away. And so judgment is a necessary part of it, simply because the light moves into the world. And the human race is divided into those who would remain divided, who would prefer the division and the fracture of humanity, a humanity that loves self more than God, more than neighbor. But as the light moves into the world, even as it divides humanity into that side that is fractured, sadly, Jesus the light brings about true unity for those who will come to him. By faith, be united to him. Be united to the Father by the Spirit, so that we might be a community that expresses unity for the rest of the world to see, that those in darkness might come and be joined as well. For judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. What does he mean by this? That those who do not see may see. That is, those like the blind man who's begging on the street, realizes his poverty, realizes his need, realizes he needs help every second of every day. In fact, this blind man was at least in as bad a shape as the paraplegic in John 5. But that need that was being expressed physically was also a need that is spiritual. Everybody is a blind beggar beside the road spiritually. It is when we realize our need, our poverty of spirit. Jesus says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, as well as blessed are those who are poor. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Because when we recognize our need, then we can be filled with the one who has all we need. But those who do see may become blind. Well, that really is about those who think they see already. I already know. I already know the difference between right and wrong, and I'm doing a pretty good job living that way as well. I don't need anybody else to tell me. I don't need forgiveness from God. I don't need a person to die for me. Are you kidding me? Leave me well enough alone, Jesus. Those who think they see with the coming of the light will sadly only be further confirmed in the blindness. The Pharisees standing by say, oh, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. Now he's bringing in that spiritual side, the problem that we have with God, a God who cares about justice, about things being done the way he intended them to be done in the world. If you were blind, you would have no guilt. Meaning if you realized your need, if you realized your guilt before God, then you would come to me and all of your sins would be forgiven. All of your sins would be forgiven. There is absolutely nothing that you could possibly do that could not be forgiven because Christ has died in your place for all that you could ever do wrong. Even that thing that you think you might never be forgiven for. Even that thing that you've done and you think God is still not forgiving me about because it's just too horrible. It's not true. Through Christ, you can be forgiven. Of all, there is only one thing you cannot be forgiven of. When you say, we see. If you say, we see, your guilt remains. If you say, I have no need of a Jesus to die for me, your guilt remains. You see, the only thing that cannot be forgiven is rejecting forgiveness. The only thing that cannot be forgiven is rejecting Jesus. And so as we come to this meal today to celebrate Jesus Christ, that on the night that he was betrayed, gathered with his disciples and said, this is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. He took the cup and said, this is my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. What we see is Jesus offering us new life through him being broken, through his blood being shed on our behalf. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes might not perish, but have eternal life.